Laudetur Jesus Christus. Praise be Jesus Christ. You're listening to the Abbot Circle podcast, presented by the Norbertine Canons Regular of St. Michael's Abbey.
A few years ago, this feast of St. Martha was expanded to include her sister Mary and brother Lazarus, to celebrate them as a family of disciples, as privileged friends of the Lord. They're one in mind and heart, one in their dedication to serve the Lord and to support him in his mission. But that's where all the similarities end. They are not one in temperament. And certainly, each of them has a very unique journey with the Lord. Mary had been a completely shattered woman. Seven demons had commandeered her. And the reason they did was because they knew she had such a deep capacity to love that her love would be absolutely devastating for their little kingdom. And so they tried to destroy her. They tried to ruin her beyond repair so that when she met the Lord, he wouldn't be able to do anything with her. But then the Lord comes into her life and makes her the icon of the restored woman and even the model of contemplation. She's better than she was to begin with. Lazarus had gotten seriously sick and waited on the Lord, and the Lord didn't come, and he died. 4 days passed, and all hope was gone. And then Jesus, weeping, calls him back to life with three words: "Come out, Lazarus." And Lazarus then becomes the sign of Jesus' power to raise the dead or even to restore someone decayed in sin. He becomes, in a way, a model of hope. And then we have St. Martha, who is so ordinary. She needs other types of work done in her soul. Nothing so dramatic as an exorcism to cast out seven demons, nor to raise her from the dead. But in St. Martha, we have a very ordinary woman who always seems either broken or on the verge of breaking because of sorrow or the pressures of life, as her complaint makes clear today. She often expects the Lord to do things for her that the Lord does not do. And she always tells him as though it should be obvious to him. "If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Why weren't you here? Or do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving? If I might offer you some friendly advice, tell her to get up and help me. Should be obvious. She's pretty bold." Our Lord's answer today hits Martha from the blind side. It's not the answer she was expecting. She might have reasonably expected him to tell Mary, "Go and help your sister, you can come back later." But no, the Lord goes a step further and says that Mary has gotten it right. There is only one thing necessary, and Mary has it so tightly in her grip that no one will take it from her. Now, what is that one thing that Martha now has to think about? And so do we. This is a part of her journey. This is a part of her growth. Whatever this one thing is, it must be the same thing that we religious live for. It must be so important, so beautiful, that it merits giving one's entire life for it. And even bypassing things that seem very necessary in this world? The answer to our question, the answer that Martha got from the Lord, and the one thing that we are seeking is all the same. One verse from Psalm 26 explains it all. "One thing I have begged of the Lord, and that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may contemplate the Lord's beauty." That is what Mary is doing. And brethren, that is the final goal of our vocation. That is why we religious do what we do, why we dress the way we dress, why we pray the way we pray, why we serve the way we serve, why we live and love the way we do. However different we might be in temperament or mission or talents or our journey, all of what we do is aimed at this one thing: to contemplate the face of God, His beauty, His goodness, His truth. That is why Mary is doing what Mary is doing at the feet of Jesus. And it is what Martha needs to learn how to do, even when her hands are busy, even when she's got a lot on her mind. We religious have made this search for God a way of life, and it unifies and simplifies everything. And we have the assurance of the Lord that if we seek Him with our whole heart, indeed we will find Him. As the psalm says, "Thou hast said, seek my face." You told me to seek your face, in other words, and my heart says to thee, "Thy face, O Lord, do I seek. Hide not thy face from me." As priests, this is often brought home to me whenever I am assisting at the bedside of someone passing from this world, especially in a hospital. I'm always struck by how simple everything is in those last moments. Even though in a hospital room, all of the monitors and the IV machines and everything, it all looks so complicated. But the human soul at that moment is not. Its needs are few. In fact, it is one. And the many things, Martha, Martha, the many things that preoccupied the person in life all fall away. And the question that each individual must ask and answer is, am I prepared to go and see the face of God? Can I look God in the eye? Can I go home to the Lord and live forever in peace with Him? When we religious offer and give ourselves in our profession, we're answering that question way ahead of time. We are answering it with the boldness of Moses, who demanded of God, "Show me your face." Or of St. Teresa of Jesus, who said, "I want to see God." But our desire, their desire, our desire, is really the response to an invitation, to a call that the Lord Jesus made to each of us so many years ago. Come, and you will see. What will we see? What will we see? The one whom our hearts long for, the one for whom we were born, the one who knows and loves each of us eternally and individually, and who has a very different path for each one of us. This one who loved and called Martha and Mary and Lazarus and you and me.
Thank you for joining us on the Abbot Circle podcast. May God bless you.